Where I need to be. I think I'm there. God is good to us, isn't he? Man, he is very, very good to us. Not only is he good to us, but he shows up and he is in this place today. The Lord is here. Turn to somebody beside him and say, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. And we give him all praise and glory. That's why we have come. Scripture says where two or three gather in his name, there you'll find me in the midst of them. So the Lord is here according to his word. But the Lord is also here according to your and my spirit, for you can feel him. He is here because you and I came, because he came with us. And the Lord is here today. And so we're going to give him all the praise and all the glory. We're going to let everything that's done today be done unto his name for his holiness and his righteousness' sake. We love him. Amen. We're going to get into the word of God today. If you brought your Bible with us, make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I add this on here. The devil's a liar. Woo, say it like you mean it. The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Woo, the devil is a liar. Open the scriptures with me to the book of John chapter 10. I can imagine the devil saying, I hate hearing y'all say that. Well, good. The devil's a liar. The devil's a lie. Bless the Lord. John chapter 10 is where we're going to be looking, and verse 10 as we get into the message this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about today on this subject today, since Jesus came, or since Jesus has come. We talk about Easter and his resurrection, and at the resurrection, he ascends back unto heaven, and he has been there since. But since he came and now dwells in the hearts and lives of men, since he came, things have changed since Jesus has come. Things have changed when Jesus shows up in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on, what's happening, what adversary is against you, what opposition is there. When Jesus shows up, it's all changed now. Things have changed. Maybe there's been people in your life that you counted on. And whenever you were doing something, you were in a great need. But then they showed up. And when they showed up, everything changed. Everybody say, it's going to be all right now. It's going to be all right now. Why? Because Jesus has come. Whenever we look at different things going on in our nation and our societies, we have different presidents that come and go, and some do a good job and some don't do such a good job, and different things like that happen. And things change depending on who is in charge and who is in control. But let me tell you something. Things never have to change for the child of God, because Jesus is always in control. Amen? He's always in control in our lives. And since he has come, things have really, really, really changed. I know a young man that I met many years ago, and I knew him outside of Christ, and he wasn't a Christian, and I knew him during that time. But then I also knew him after he got saved and after he came to the Lord. And let me tell you something, there was a big change in his life. Because when Jesus comes, things change. Somebody say it changes. It does every single time. When Jesus shows up and he makes himself aware unto you and he makes himself available unto your needs of your life, those needs, they change. Things happen when he comes. So since Jesus has come, things have changed. Look with me in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The scripture says, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, if you want to know what the devil wants to do in your life, there it is. That's his threefold sermon, if you want to call it that way. His 3 points to the devil's sermon. For him to steal, for him to kill, and from him to destroy. If you see stealing, killing, or destruction going on in and around your life, you have found the devil's activity. You have located him. You have isolated his work. You found him. If he steals, he kills, and destroys, you know where the devil has been at. Then the rest of the passage says to us there, Jesus says, but I am come. Notice, I am come that they might have life. The word life there in the Greek word is the word zoe. It means the life of God. I've come that you might have the life of God, which is a life of everything that you have need of. It's all the good things that God is. It's the life of God. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance or more abundantly. Not just life, but more abundant life. Somebody say max out. Max out. In other words, not just life, but more abundant life. David comes back into Jerusalem as they're bringing the temple of God back in. He's dancing and just having a great time before the Lord. I mean, just a wonderful time. His wife is upset about it and says, "You look like a fool out there." And David says, "Don't you worry about that, honey, because I can be a lot more vile than this." In other words, I'm going to max out. So if people think you're strange now, they ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? Amen. Just stick around. Just stick around. If you think this is strange or this is weird, just hang around because it gets better all the while and more strange to the world, more odd and peculiar to the world. Somebody said, "You're peculiar." Say, "Thank you." Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I am. Somebody says, "You're strange." Thank you. Somebody say, "Doesn't look like you fit around here." Thank you. Thank you. I mean, why? Because we're living that life of abundance. Abundance in whatever we have need of health and strength and life and blessing. Of whatever it is, we're living that life of abundance, abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant happiness in our life. Jesus has brought that to us. Since Jesus has come, that's what's happened in our life. Let me read you a couple. Look at it again, verse 10. Let me show you that in the Amplified Bible. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy." Now, don't think you're going to make a deal with the devil. Any deal you make with the devil, you're going to lose. You're going to come out on the bad side. He's only there for some nefarious reason, something that's bad for you. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. "But I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." To the full till it overflows. To the full until it overflows. That's the life of God that he brings to us. The Message Bible says, "If the thief is only here to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Better than you've ever dreamed. Great. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, that now to him is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Way above what you can ask. Somebody said, I don't want to ask too largely. Why not? Because God can give you way more than you could ever ask for. Way more than you can ever think for. And so many of us, we think so small and we ask for so little. How many times in my pastoral life have I heard people say, "Can a pastor, I have a need in my life and I'm not asking for a lot. I just need this little need or this little whatever. I'm not asking God to do great things. It's just a small thing." Well, God, just all that. Well, why are you going to ask for just something small? Why not ask for something largely? Ask for something big from God. God's not about to run out answering your prayer request. When he answers yours, he won't have to close the door and say, "No more prayers open for the next 100 years. I just answered your prayer of a little bit." No. God's got plenty. Everybody say plenty. And so there's abundant life in him. God's word translation, "A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came so that my sheep will have life and so that they will have everything they need." How many are the sheep of his pasture? Say, bah. Bah. We're the sheep of his pasture, aren't we? And so he is the good shepherd. And he said he came that we might have everything we need. Somebody says, "What do you got?" "I got everything I need." Amen. What have you got? You got what? Say it again. You got what? You mean everything you need? You got it? We got everything I need. I got everything. Not only that, we have everything we need in that translation, but the King James said, we've got it in abundance. We've got everything we need in abundance. I got more than enough. My cup runneth over. I'm filled with love and joy of God. Got more than what I have need of. And we got plenty that we can share with everybody. Somebody say, amen. Absolutely. Got it. Somebody say, I got it. I got it. We got it. Now then, notice he said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life." Now, with this so clear, what is the problem in life? I mean, it's spelled out so very clear. Why is it that people walk around blaming God on stuff the devil is doing? Yeah, I mean, it is an amazing thing to do. You read those insurance policies, and they talk about if you have a problem, our church here, we have building insurance on this, and it talks about, if a flood comes or if the winds come, blow off the shingles, insurance covers that. If hail hits the shingles, insurance covers that. If it floods out, insurance covers that. Various things around here that it would cover. But in the policy, it says it covers all those things and other acts of God. Other acts of God. I don't need to be insured for the acts of God. I want all the acts of God I can get. How about you? We don't need insurance to protect us against the acts of God. That's what we want. I want to strike that out of the policy. Get rid of that. Don't want that. No, but what are they saying? They're saying any other bad thing that might happen to you. Well, why is it they're thinking about these bad things that might happen to you? Look at John chapter 8. Why were they thinking about all these bad things that might happen to you, and they're looking at it like it's bad? Evidently, they don't know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and bring it to you more abundantly. Evidently, they've got the thing mixed up a little bit. Evidently, they haven't been reading the same Bible that you and I read. Evidently, they've been listening to another voice other than the voice of the Lord God. Because the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 44, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. Everybody say, that devil's a liar. He is a liar and the father of it. Not only is he still lying today, but he's the one who started the whole shebang in all this lie. When did he do that? Back in the garden when he told Adam, you won't surely die if you sin and you violate God's word. You won't surely die. That's when he first started. That was the first lie. You got it recorded in Genesis chapter 3. And so there came the lie. And ever since then, he's been lying ever since. Lying ever since. And what you now have to do is recognize the truth of God versus the lies of the devil. Because what will happen is this, you've got your choice and I've got my choice. I can act on either word I hear. I can act on the word from the devil or I can act on the word from God. God gives me and you that power of choice in our life that we can make those decisions and we can go either direction we want to go. And so I got to be careful not to listen to the devil because he's lying and I don't want to go that direction. I got to be careful to know when he's lying. And to know when it's the devil's talking. And you know what? If you get close enough to God, you will recognize his voice. Jesus said like this, my sheep, they hear my voice and they know me. They know my sheep hear my voice and they know me. When Sheila and I first started dating, I'd call her up on the phone. And believe me, I knew the difference in her voice and her mom's voice just instantly like that. I mean, because I'd hate to call her up on the phone and say, I love you. And she's, her mom would say, what did you say, son? What did you say? No, you learn somebody's voice when you hang around them. Yeah, I mean, you just learn people's voice. I was messing around with Sheila one day. We were playing at the house and different things. And I said, Sheila, would you do this and so? And she said, yeah, I'll do that. I said, from now on, whenever I say do this or so, don't do that. I said, when Sheila, when I just say, Sheila, do that. And she said, why? And I said, wait a minute, Sheila, when I just say, go do that. I said, It didn't go over very well at the house. Believe me, it didn't. I think the voice of the devil started getting in on that situation. But you'll recognize the voice of God when you hang around him, and it's easy to discern between God and the devil. It's not hard. It's not hard. If you have a problem, go back to John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's got something to do with stealing, killing, and destroying, it ain't of God. It's of the devil. Amen? Now, if somebody tries to tell you it is of God, then the devil's a liar. Because the Bible says the devil's a liar. There ain't no way the devil's going to come to you and tell you something without lying to you. If he came to you and said, listen, I want you to go out here and just live a life of sin and debauchery and all kind of transgressions against God, do all that, when you die, you'll go to hell and burn for all eternity. The devil doesn't tell you that. No, he said, oh, you know God doesn't be responsible for you going to hell. God loves everybody. He's not going to do that. You can sin on your, God understands. You know, those are things that the devil would say. And so you have to recognize the difference in the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, because the enemy is going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you like it is. He's not going to say it to you like it is. He's going to pad it and float it all kind of different ways where he can promote it to you in a way that you'll receive it and say, hey, maybe that's God. And when you do that, you start acting on it and the devil has lied to you, then you actually become doing the will of God. So we've got to understand the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to have life and we might have it more abundantly. And so in the midst of this, we learn that the devil is trying to cloud that up by lying to us. Now, the scripture says in John 14, verse 6, you're still there in John. Look at John 14, verse 6. The Bible says there, John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth. Everything that comes from Jesus is truth. Jesus never lies. He always brings the truth. Now, let me just show you a little bit of revelation. Jesus said, I'm the way and I am the truth. In John 17, hold that right there. John 17 and verse 17, just a couple of chapters over. John 17 and 17, Jesus said this in this prayer. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Do you know that the word has got to be truth? Since Jesus is himself said he is truth. Why? What we learned for several weeks that Jesus is the living word, right? And so if Jesus says it, then the word says it. If Jesus speaks the truth, then the word gives the truth. And either one I go to, Jesus in person and heart, my relationship with him, that word is always going to be revealed in the truth of the word of God. In fact, I'm not going to share it this morning, but I found about 18 or 20 different places in Scripture where Jesus said something and the Word said the same thing. And it's got to, because in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God. And verse 14 of chapter John, chapter 1, says the Word became flesh. So Jesus has got to say what the Word said. The Word has got to say what Jesus says, because the Word is Jesus to us. The Word is a revelation of who God is, and it is Jesus to us. The more we know the Word, the more we know Jesus. The more you know Jesus, as he said, my words are not my words, but they are the Father's, the more you know the Father. So when you want a connection with God the Father, get connected to Jesus. When you want a connection with Jesus, get connected to the Word. Because they all lead you to the same place, to a relationship with God the Father. Amen? So then, we have to come to this understanding that the thief is out to destroy things. But Jesus come to give us life and give us to us more abundantly. Wednesday night of this week, as we were in Bible study, we had an incident that happened here in the parking lot of the church. Jesse Tarver truck was stolen. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that right? And so that's Wednesday night. Somewhere between the time of right around 7:30 to about 10 to 8 in that time frame there, his truck was stolen while sitting in the parking lot. His truck was stolen. Well, what did we do? He went out, looked around, called a few people. Anybody didn't come borrow his truck, did he? No, that didn't happen. And so then we, of course, filed a report with the police and that kind of thing. Got that taken care of. But then we did the real stuff. Because after the service, as people began to leave, and I was looking at the front porch here of the church, I saw Miss Helen, and I saw Jesse standing there with hands joined together, talking to God about it, praying about it. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. And so they were praying, and they were seeking God, all kind of good things. I know Miss Helen's full of the Word. I know how she's praying. I know what she's praying. This thing is not going to stand. This is not going to get it. In the name of, if the thief be found, it gets restored. Somebody say amen. So that's Wednesday night. And so we, you know, leave the church, that kind of stuff. The next morning, somebody say the next morning. Somebody say joy comes in the morning. The next morning, early that morning, they found his truck about a few miles right down this way, right on in a pasture right behind Walmart. And the keys are still in his truck. And the truck is there. Everything's fine there. Missed a few dollars, a few things like that. But they found the truck, and in 12 hours' time, less than 12 hours of time, he's got his truck back. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say the devil's a lie. Say the devil's a lie. When something like that happens, you don't just walk away, because I know what happened. Miss Helen prayed with him. Other people prayed with him. I prayed with him. Call at night, pray with him on the phone. Other people pray with him. A lot of people praying for him. And what were we praying? The devil's a liar, Jesus. The devil's a liar. This cannot stand. You see, the thing about it is this. When things in life happen and things come against you in life, don't just let it go. Don't just accept it and say, well, I guess that's it, man. I guess we done lost our truck now. No. No, don't just let it go. Don't just let things go in life like that. The doctor gives you a bad report in life. Don't just you say, okay, I guess that's it now. What do I do next, you know? No, no, no. The devil's a lie. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. The devil's a lie. Don't give up. Don't quit so easy. Don't not even fight at all. Don't even not show up for the battle. Be there. Get in the thick of things. Make things happen. Remember was when King David, when he was just a little boy, and he goes out and he sees Goliath out on the hillside in the valley, and he's there and he's challenging all the armies of God. And what they're doing, they all sat around over here waiting. I mean, they're not fighting. They've been there for days waiting. This guy come out like 40 days in a row and they still waiting and nobody will go out there to him. David comes in and said, what are y'all doing sitting over here for? The battle's out there. And some of us need to quit sitting wherever we're sitting and get up and engage in the battle. Amen? And don't be afraid because the devil's a lie. The devil, he huffs and he puffs and he comes against you with everything he possibly can. He makes the circumstances and things look really, really difficult in your life. But the devil's a lie. Amen? The devil's a lie. We had a board of trustee meeting yesterday, and we looked at some things that we need to do around the church. And some folks, you know, we need some carpet around here. We need to replace this carpet. Somebody say amen. Don't worry, I'm not taking an offering yet. Somebody say amen. Don't worry anyway, you should shout if I took them an offering. But we need to replace some carpet. We got a sign out there that won't hold letters anymore. And we need to replace that. And we got some other things heading down the road with this van and other things doing. But we made a bold decision yesterday to begin go forward with replacing of this carpet. And then after that, or right along concurrently with that, just to ever have plays out, that then go ahead and put us a new sign. How many wants to see a brand new digital sign out there? Somebody say amen. Your name going across. I'm going to put it up there. The devil's a lie. The devil's is a lie. And so we looked at that, and while, you know, God has blessed us so much financially around his church, it is amazing what God has done. He has blessed us tremendously, and thank God for it. But both those items are big money. You're not talking chump change. You're talking big money when you're talking that. You're not talking hundreds. You're not talking a few thousands. You're talking tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands. We're talking, you know, 35, 40,000. You're talking big money on a couple of those items there anyway. And so you're talking lots of money there. And so, but we believe God is going to allow us to fulfill those and get every bit of that done this year. Somebody say amen. And begin work on it and get it done. Why? Now, we did that. Then, after the meeting is over, and we had our meeting yesterday morning, you know, come in for prayer time, and had our meeting at 8:15 Saturday morning. Stayed almost about noon in that particular meeting. And before that, we did our Bible study. And so I got up at 5:30 that morning. So I wasn't thinking right anyway. But anyway, got up at 5:30 that morning and got in here. And then we go home. And on the way home, we go home and we do what we're going to do. And I'm in prayer the rest of the afternoon and all last evening as well. And so we're praying. And when I begin to go in there to pray, and the first thing that happens is I walk into my study, the devil shows up. He said, son, do you know what you just did? I said, I know what I just did. He said, you know what y'all just decided to do? I said, I know what we decided to do. He said, that is a big step of faith. You know that? Ready for this? I said, yeah. And then I shook myself a little bit, and I said, because the devil's a lie. The devil's a lie. I'm glad he showed up. That made me, you know, more secure than ever in Jesus' name. But the devil's a liar. He is a liar. And you know what? There's so many blessings that God has given us around this church. We're debt-free, got money in the bank, got stuff, and able to do all kinds of stuff. But if you want to help, and they told me to tell you guys, let's help. If you want to help us with that, and you'd like to chunk in some money for that in the next month or two, please do that. And we'll do that. Sheila and I, we're going to do some special ourselves in our giving as well. And if you want to do that, you want to help us do that, do it for us. Because it's going to take every bit of faith so far that we got to get us there. But we're going to make it. And I believe that we are. Amen. Somebody say amen. Never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out selling Krispy Kreme donuts. Never have. In Jesus' name. Amen. The devil's a liar. Amen. Put that on a sign. The devil's a liar. Put it through in red. It's not going to be just a small sign. It's going to be a big sign. It is big. A big sign. Go across there. Not just black and red, but sunset burst. Pow! Orange, green, and blue, and then bam, the devil's a lie. And then we're going to have this carpet on the inside of this building, and you know, it's going to be nice. We got some bad spots in this carpet. We need to get rid of this. Amen? Let's make it happen. Amen. I feel so good about now, so we might just pay for it ourselves. What do you think? You said yes. What are you doing? Don't amen everything I say. Don't amen everything I say. Judge the prophets. Please, look at Romans chapter 6. The devil's a lie. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You've all heard it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice, wages of sin is death. If you want to participate in sin, payday's coming. It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Well, right here, the same thing. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Somebody say, choose life. Get on the life side of this thing. One thing about it that's different that since Jesus come than before he came into my life and your life, the difference is this. Now, I'm no longer under the sentence of death. We're no longer under that sentence of death because of sin, because Jesus has bore our sins. He has taken our sins, and my sins have been nailed to the cross. They have been crucified in Christ Jesus at the cross. He bore them. He became the sin bearer. He became sin himself for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so the good thing about, since Jesus has come, since he has come, now I don't have to be concerned. I don't have to be upset. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be, you know, just wondering if I'm going to make it in or not. No, the wages of sin is death. Jesus has bore my death penalty on the cross. And now the eternal life that I have through Jesus Christ my Lord is now mine. And so I'm not worried, not upset, not just all bent out of shape, don't have all anxiety in my life about sin. I haven't thought anything today about sinning. Have you? I haven't thought anything, not one thing about sinning. Really haven't. Not anything other than that Krispy Kreme donuts I just mentioned. But other than that, I haven't caught anything about sinning. Not anything. But Jesus has bore my sin. He has bore my sin. And so since Jesus has come, and that's the greatest thing there is about salvation. It really is. There's a lot of blessings in salvation. But it is great. It is wonderful to know, and I'm expecting the absolute best for my life, but no matter what would happen today, tomorrow, the next day, it doesn't matter. I am secure in Christ Jesus, and I know I got a home with him. I understand that. I understand that in this life, all these things that can come against me, whatever they may or may not be, you know what? If I face a struggle or so, the Lord's going to be with me. He'll take me through it, and he'll give me power to overcome it in Jesus' name. Amen. But I have found this, that the more that you live for God and the more that you order your life aright by the word of God, the more that you sow right things in your life, the more right things you're going to reap, and life gets real, real good for you. It really, really, really does. It really does. Now, you say, have you ever faced a tragedy or a different thing? In life, you face some of those things, and some of those things I brought on myself by walking to the left or the right of where God's will was for my life. But when I've walked in the center of God's will, I've always found that, just like Jesus said, come learn of me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is an easy and a wonderful life living for the Lord. And so that's happened, though, since Jesus come. Before Jesus was in my life, oh, me, I didn't want to die. You know that thing, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die? I didn't want to die before Jesus came. I didn't want to be in any kind of circumstance or situation where my life might be snatched from me through a storm or this or that. No, wasn't ready to meet God. I wasn't ready to meet God. I didn't want to go into eternity without Jesus. But now since Jesus has come, that don't even enter my mind. It really don't. Not since Jesus has come. Not at all. Jesus has come. Somebody say, Jesus has come. And it's changed my life. Amen. Now, look with me. You're there. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. I am able to partake of the inheritance of God. Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What that basically means is this, is we no longer have to be guilty. We don't have to be tormented by our sins. That's what's bad about sin. When you get and you've done something that you know was wrong or you're sinful, Now, I mean, you knew that God had every right to judge you. You knew that because of your sins, you didn't deserve the goodness, grace, and mercy of God. You didn't deserve heaven when you died. You were in sin, and you knew there was a judgment day that was coming. But the good thing about since Jesus has come, since he's come in our life, you no longer have to stand guilty before God like that. You don't have to stand tormented in your mind, your heart, and your spirit that God's just going to come down and kill you one day or something like that. Or God's going to strike you down dead. Remember that years ago people said that a lot, or in my life they used to. God's going to strike you down dead. You know what I do? Hide under the bed. That didn't make much sense, does it? Don't you know God can hide, find you when you hide under the bed? You can't hide from God. If you run from God, you are out of steam already. I mean, you can't hide from God. But see, we're no longer guilty or tormented by our sins or transgressions. I don't dread a judgment day. I don't. Now, if I reject God and walk away from my own, reject Jesus as sacrifice, I would. But no, I don't reject God at all. I don't reject Jesus. I'm on his side. We're on the same team together. And so, therefore, my judgment took place at the cross. And so thank God for that. Thank God for that. So, in all the things that we live and all the things we do this life, you don't have to be tormented about sin. If you got something going on in your life that's bugging you, or something that in your life, the Bible says, well, take care of it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You don't have to walk around and just all burdened down with a bad conscience. There is a joy, a real joy, in living a life, purity of heart, where you just reel before God, and you give everything before the Lord, and you lay it down in his presence, and give it. And you determine you walk pure before the Lord, holy before the Lord, in Christ Jesus. And I pray this prayer consistently, that Lord God, you know, if I'm doing anything, anything's happening, if I know about it, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to forsake it, I'm going to get rid of it. But if anything else going on, I don't know, Lord, reveal it to me, I'll take care of it. But other than that, I'm believing the grace of God to cover every situation thing in my life. Just believing on the Lord Jesus' grace, his mercy. If it wasn't for his grace and mercy, where would any of us be here? Amen? Since Jesus has come. Since Jesus has come. Look with me. Let me show you something. Psalm 23. Since Jesus has come, we are no longer in a place of deception, perplexed, confused, and misguided. There are some weird people in this world. They are some strange folks in this world. They really are. Yeah, you ever see some of these videos on YouTube? I saw one the other day, and I didn't know what to talk about. There's this little lady, and she's standing up here in front of a store window, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's crying, and said, they just murdered so-and-so. Oh, my, who got murdered? And said, not only are they murdering, but right now they're taking him apart piece by piece, leg by leg. And they murdered him right now, and I've called the police, and the police are on their way here now. I'm thinking, my, what is this? It's coming on YouTube. And what happens, the police get there and they arrive and they go inside and somebody, and when they go inside there, that somebody is slaughtering a pig for ham meat. I'm thinking, you all this upset about somebody fixing to have some ham meat or some pork. I know some of you don't eat that, but I tell you what, bacon is good. Woo, Lord, bacon is good. And the Atkins diet says you can have that meat bacon, man. I love it. I ate one egg, one piece of bacon. Just one measly egg, one piece of bacon every morning for breakfast. Did that this morning. Right after I got off the treadmill, she'll fix it for me. And so one egg, one lousy piece of bacon. I'd rather have 5 eggs, 10 pieces of bacon, a pot of grits, 10 or 12 real biscuits. You never heard of them before, Sheila. They don't come in cans. But real biscuits, oh, all made up good. Woo, Lord, with some jelly and some molasses and butter. Oh, woo, 5 pancakes. Bowl of Fruit Loops like Jethro Bodine eats. I mean, the big kind. Woo, but I got one measly old egg and one measly piece of bacon. I've been exercising days 173 days in a row on that treadmill every day for a half hour, come off sweating and dripping sweat. 173 days in a row and ain't lost 1 pound. But anyway, Psalms 23. It's got to kick in one day. Them scales I got is a lie. Them scales I got is a lie. Them scales is a lie. I don't know if that's good English, but them scales is a lie. They a lie. Psalms 23. You don't have to be deceived or perplexed or misguided about things in life anymore. Not to be all concerned about stuff. I mean, look at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm going to tell you something right on the sideline. Let me tell you something. Some people are so deceived, it's incredible. Now, I don't think you ought to hurt or harm any of God's creatures, you know, for that respect. But I also understand there's things given to eat. I understand. There are. But at the same time, we were going to the circus, the last circus, 2 years ago, Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. And when we were going into the circus, there were people out there protesting. And they had protested so much that Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey had went down from like 26 elephants to one. And all these people protest, still mad about the one. You know them elephants eat better, have veterinary care and taken care better for Ringling Brothers than they would out in the wild. But these people out there protesting still having that one animal. Well, what finally happened was they finally protest and get rid of all the animals. Then why you can go to the circus? Well, what happened? Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, after over 100 years, shut down. Wasn't no reason to go. If you can't see a dancing dog or, you know, a cat that's trained, or see some crazy man stick his head in a lion's mouth, you know, why go to the circus? But I'm in the line, and these people got this, they protesting, about 10 or 12 of them out there protesting, walking around. Cruelty to animals. Ringling Brothers hates elephants. They can't stand lions. All this stuff. Cruelty to them. Shut them down. And they're marching. And I went by this lady. I said, you know what? I think we ought to treat all of our animals with care. And I believe that they did. I believe that they gave them the best. Hey, if you got something that'll make you thousands of dollars, you got a circus, don't you know you can treat that animal well? And I think they did. I mean, could there have been some problem? I don't know. Sure. You got human beings, you're going to have that. But I think they treat them well. So when I'm going through there, it just comes all over me. And so I turn that little lady that's beside of me with her sign up there and says, shut this thing down, cruelty to animals. I said, let me tell you something. Or I ask you a question. How come it is you're out here protesting about cruelty to an elephant when in this very city there are people performing abortion? Do you believe abortion is wrong? Well, no, that's a woman's choice. You know, people are crazy. That is insane. People more care about an elephant than they are a little baby. It's insane kind of thinking. But you don't have to be insane. We don't have to be nuts, amen? We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to have our mind completely, you know, ridded of all understanding of common sense and reason and logic. We can have every bit of that. Look what the Bible says in Psalms 23, verse 1. Scripture tells us the Lord is my shepherd. He's our shepherd. He leads and he guides us. He makes a way for us. He is the one that we're following. We're not following the latest fad or the latest political thing here or there, but we're following the Lord Jesus. He is our shepherd. Now notice, as our shepherd, what happens when he's your shepherd? You want? You shall not want. What that means is, as he's such a good shepherd, you just don't have any wants in your life. He takes care of all of them. Amen? I mean, he takes care of everything. Our children are older, of course, now, but when they were younger, we sent them to school. We didn't want to send them to school with, you know, holes in their clothes, that kind of stuff. What do we want to do? We want them to know, hey, you got some parents that care about the kids, going to take care of them. Now I know they want holes in their clothes nowadays, but back in those days, we didn't want holes in our clothes. My mom used to get patches and iron them on the front of my knees. I had two patches on the front. I mean, remind me of that song, you know, patches, I'm depending on you, son. But it had patches right here on front that I can't, because you know what? And some of them would get tore off. I was what? Down on your knees playing marbles, right? Little boys, anybody want to do that? We played marbles. We didn't have a video game. We just had marbles and sticks and rocks that we throwed at people. But we had to create our own violence. But anyway, verse 2, Psalms 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. I got green pastures. I got still water. Everybody say still water. Everybody say, I'm so calm. And calm. Everybody just get rested. Still. Everything's all right. Don't be closing your eyes. Sleep. Do like Sheila said, I just rested my eyes. One time I seen her rest her eyes all night long. She just resting her eyes though. But we buy still waters. Still waters. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm not headed down the wrong road. I'm not headed out in sin and rebellion and those transgressions. I'm in the path of righteousness. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Even though that guy that lies, steals, and kills, and destroys that we talked about, him, the devil, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm comforted in the things of God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. The anointing is so great, our cup runs over. Say, it's running over. It's running over. All these Christians walk around, how are you making it? I'm just barely making it. Been a hard week, Pastor. It's been real hard. Come on now. That's not the way a child of God talks. No. Our blessings are running over. I got more now than I know what to do with. Our blessings are running over. Verse 6, surely. Somebody say, surely. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. Surely it'll happen. Somebody say, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say, amen. And say, I'll have good carpet under my feet too in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Look with me. I want to show you one other place. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew 8, verse 16. Here's something else you don't have to be concerned about anymore since Jesus has come. You know, there's a common thing in life that they say people do. When they hear about a sickness or a disease, they say, you know what? The sickness or disease says you got this pain, right here in your back, and on the side of your foot. Well, like you. And when you read about that sick disease, you say, you know, I walk like, oh, Lord. I walk, and I did feel a pain. I think I felt something. Oh. And you'll start reading yourself into what you read about. But the scripture teaches us you don't have to fear sickness and disease. Out of all the stuff they cured years ago, they come up with 100 new sickness and disease. I say, well, medical science is good. Well, I appreciate medical science. I really do. I appreciate good doctors, good nurses, good medicine. I really, really do. But you don't have to walk in fear of sickness and disease. Now, I know there's certain things the devil can say that have come against you that can strike at you. But there's no reason to fear. Why is there a reason to fear when you serve the Lord God of the universe who made and created you and can do anything? Why should you fear, or why should I fear, when that's the kind of God that we serve? But the devil is a liar. He'll try to come against us and try to do things against us and tell you, you know, you got this, don't you? I know, I didn't know I had it. Yeah, you got it. Got it, all right. Yeah. There's a great episode years ago on Fred Sampson. Remember Fred Sampson? Fred and Lamont, they go to the free clinic to get checked for tuberculosis. And then when they come back home, they each get a letter. Lamont says there's nothing to it. Fred is all shook. He's rattled. Fred opens his letter, and he says to them, when he opens his letter, that he looks into it, and it tells him that they want him to come down and talk about the result. Fred said, oh, I got it. I got TB. He said, that's what they do to you. They don't tell you in the letter then. They tell you to come down there. That's why they're telling you to come down. Lamont said, it's no problem. It's no problem. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it at all. Fred's all shook about it. Lamont is strong. He said, there's no problem. Don't be concerned. It's just a letter. Fred's looking at the letter and he said, wait a minute. This is the wrong letter. This got your name on it, Lamont. He hands it to Lamont, and Lamont gets all shook up. He gets all shook up. I mean, he just all blowed away. I got it. And he leaves the house. And when he leaves the house and go away, they think he might have tuberculosis. And when he leaves the house and go away, Fred burns his bed because he doesn't want anybody to get in. When he comes back, his bed is all... He comes back and found out it was just a St. Christopher medal that he had on that was giving a bad result on the test. That's all it was. But it's an excellent show that shows you that at that point, sometimes people worry about, get concerned about, all these kind of things, about words that are spoken and things that are said. But what I think the child of God needs to stand up, no matter what is out there, because I face some issues in my life, you may have too, and some very real, real, real things. It wasn't St. Christopher's medal at all, but I face some very real things in life. But what I found out in the final analysis of all things is God is the healer and the devil's a lie. Somebody say, the devil's a liar. The devil's a lie. How come? Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the evening was come, and they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Somebody say all that were sick. That includes everybody. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Jesus himself did that. Not another, not an angel, not a devil certainly, not a demon certainly, but Jesus himself did that. He took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. And so the fact that he did that means that you and I don't have to do it ourselves. And so if the devil comes against you, what you need to do is stand up and say, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. The devil's a lie. The devil is a liar. And you know what? Then, as you recognize that the devil's a liar, then live like it. Act like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. The devil's a liar. You know, the devil will come against you and he'll come against you in life. He'll try to set up stages of fear in your life. He'll try to come into your life and perplex you and harass you and torment you and all kind of things that he'll try to do. And you know what? The Bible teaches us that the devil goes about, he says, in the book of James or book of Peter, in a roaring lion. He roars. He's a roaring lion. The devil's got a big mouth. Amen. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, he may not devour you. Somebody say amen. May God grant it. Amen. He may not devour me. Somebody say amen. May the Lord God grant it. He may not, in Jesus' name. And we've all been in places like that in our life. If you have it, you may face it later on. Who knows? But you know, there's things in your life that you can come up against things in life. And you can face it. That's the time that you make a stand of faith. And it's that time that you stand on the reality of what God's word says about the situation. And again, and I've read this, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in verse 17, when it tells me that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet said, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Got to the place and said to my body before, nobody. This can't happen to you. This can't. It absolutely can't. Himself bore this for you. Himself took this sickness. Himself, my sickness and disease was laid on him at the cross. A lot of people have the reality of our sins being laid on him, and thank God that we do. But we need to further that reality, recognize that your sickness and your disease was laid on him at the cross. And because of that, then I can walk in health and I can walk in strength. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God is good. Miss, stand up. Stand up. Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Stretch your hands this way. Lord. Jesus. You got a report. It's not so good, dude. I've got one like that. Huh? All right. I like it. I like that. I like that. I know. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand in faith. Stand in faith. Man, I love it. Ain't nobody better than you. It's facing different people, different ways, different things. We've all been there. That's what I'm trying to say. We all stand level at the foot of the cross. We really do. Level. But God's good to every one of us. He loves you as much as he loves anybody. And everything he did for anybody, he did. So we're going to believe God for your healing. That the next test you have is going to be the best test. Right? That the next test you have, this will be taken care of. That's what we're going to believe for. Amen? I believe. We love doctors. I really do. I think they give their life to help us. I really do. I thank God for everything. All for it. But I think the next test you have is going to be the best test you have. I really do. I believe it's going to show a great, great, great result for you. Everybody stretch your hand this way. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we stretch our hands toward Milton, whom you love, whom you care for, and whom you purchased her healing now some 2,000 years ago. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand with her for her healing and complete freedom from this thing that has come against her. We declare, we decree, in the name of Jesus, her health, her wholeness, her wellness. And in the name of Jesus, may this thing that has come against her leave her and flee her, even this hour. May it never be hers again. May it be gone forever. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we decree healing in her life and decree and declare that the devil is a liar. And in the name of Jesus, healing flows through her body even now. In the name of Jesus, be made whole and be healed in the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. We love you. We love you. Amen. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Bless the Lord. Let me get to a place that I can bring this thing to an end. Since Jesus has come. Look with me, and here's why. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Here's the reality. Here's the reality. In fact, go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The reality. The devil is a lie. Somebody say it. The devil's a lie. The devil's a lie. Lord, let that be coming out your mouth all day long today. All this week. The devil's a lie. No matter what the devil brings against people in this life, the devil is a lie. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. That's not you, and that's not me. You don't commit sin. We're not of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning, just like he lied from the beginning. He sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, because the devil shows up on the scene, for this purpose, because the devil does what he does, attacks like he attacks, comes against us like he comes against, for this purpose, because the devil was destroying people, because the devil was hindering people, because he was keeping people from a relationship with God, because he was keeping people down and out with all the cares of this life, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. This is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if the devil says he's coming against you, going to take you out, you know what? The devil's a lie. The devil's a lie. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. And so when any situation and circumstance in our life comes against us, when anything that he would bring against it, whether it be sickness or disease or become poverty or financial distress or becomes bad relationships or different things going on, griefs and sorrows, all the things that this life is available to bring against us, rather than sit down and come, you know, just let it happen, why not stand up boldly, declare the devil is a lie and that Jesus has destroyed that work in Jesus' name? Stand with me this morning. I want us to pray a prayer all over this building this morning that we can pray and believe God for whatever adversarial event that the enemy's trying to bring against you, whatever it might would be that he's trying. Maybe if he's trying to bring sickness and disease against you, then declare that the devil is a lie and Jesus has destroyed that work. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You're not the greater one. Jesus is. He just happens to be on the inside of you and me. And so we declare that. If there's situations that are going on in your relationships or those kind of events of your life that are difficult for you, declare that the devil is a lie. I mean, my goodness, some of us need to declare that the devil is a lie over our marriage. Somebody say amen. Talked to some young man just the other day. He's 30 years of age, and talked to him, and just in the midst of this conversation, he said, yeah, I got to get on home because the old lady's waiting for me. I said, you crazy, man. What you calling your wife the old lady for? What kind of marriage you going to have calling your wife the old lady said, I better get home? Well, if I was you talking like that, you better not show up at home. Who knows? Lord, help you. My goodness. People do crazy things and want a good marriage. Well, you got to do the right thing. If the devil attacked your marriage, declare that the devil is a lie. I have the best of marriages. Say, I have the best of marriage. I have the best of marriage. Believe that you do. Me and Sheila, we pulled up just below Martha Frank's retirement home at Sharon's Flower Shop. We was just being ourselves. And we pulled up to the red light right there, just sitting there, fixing to go across the red light at Sharon's Flower Shop. A white SUV, Escalade Cadillac on the right-hand side, pulls in right beside me. Woman looks at me, rolls down the window. I didn't know what it was. She looks at me, rolls down the window, and says, y'all so cute, and then rolled up and drove off like that. I said, cute? This ain't about cute. We in love, man. This ain't about cute. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. You can have the best marriage anybody can have. Amen? Lift your hands toward heaven. Say, Father, I give you praise that everything that the devil has tried to steal, kill, or destroy against me, my life, my family, is a lie. He's a liar. And in the name of Jesus, all of his works are destroyed by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise for glory, for freedom, for deliverance, for healing, for blessing. I worship you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Do it again. Shout hallelujah. Let it come strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil's a liar. Amen. He's a liar. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless. Amen.